And boy, that's what we miss, being together. And as I said this morning, the greatest fear we have is each other. That's where we are in life. You know? Even our children, grandchildren. And the greatest fear is of each other. And it's an abnormal, but I'm afraid it's going to become anormal. So anyway, this is difficult. It really is. Our church was going down in attendance, some, not drastically, but some, up and down like a yo-yo, in the last 6-8 months, due to several different things, some illnesses and things, age. But this is emptied buildings. This is emptied buildings. Most church buildings across the land today were just speckled with a few people, just a few people in attendance. And I'm afraid this video, Facebook is going, and everybody's doing it, is going to become the new norm, where people will just stay home at convenience and drink their coffee while they hear their preacher preach. And that's not good. That's not good. That exempts the fellowship. The fellowship. So, but anyway, if we can help some other people that would not hear, not listen in any other place, and we can help some people, which we are overwhelmed at the response that we get from this, well, we'll have to preach the empty pews in here and to the hundreds and thousands out there. And that's just the way it will be. But anyway, pray for me. I want to get rid of this. I want to get rid of this so I can get rid of this and get rid of this and get back to normality. Somebody said, "You look like a wild man." I said, "Oh, if you only knew." So anyway, hopefully I can get this cleared up. I've been battling this for over two months. And it's not been a fun joy, along with many, many other things that's been going on. All right, we are in Revelation chapter 18 tonight. When we closed our church 2 months ago, we were looking at the final end of what we call the kingdom age, which will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. And I had about 2 or 3 more Sunday nights that I was going to continue with that. But since we've been away from it for 2 months, I've decided not to put those on and start now with the final phase of God's program, which is eternity. Mm-hmm. Eternity. And as Donnie sang this morning, the no mores, that is my message tonight, the no mores of eternity. And there are 2 classifications given. One of them is given in chapter 18, and one of them is given in chapter 21. Now, if you'll remember back when we studied back in the fall and in the spring, we've been on this study of future things to come about 2 years. And if you'll remember back in the fall, we were studying the collapse of the religious system and the economic system and the political system are all 3 given in Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18. And may say, I say to our friends that's listening by way of Facebook, don't be afraid of this book. Matter of fact, John said in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed are they, the ones that read this and depend upon the Spirit of God to illuminate and to lead into the beautiful truths of this book, are blessed, is what Revelation 1, verse 3 says. Blessed are they. So don't be afraid of this book. Read it, enjoy it, study it, depend upon the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. And those of you that are connecting with us, you're coming in kind of on a tail end of a 2-year study. But anyway, we are looking at two no mores tonight, the no mores of religion and the no mores of Christianity. The no mores of religion and the no mores of Christianity. And there's a difference. Cain in Genesis chapter 4 established a world system of religion. It's a self-effort, an attempt to gain favor with God, acknowledging there is a God, attempting to bring an offering to him, but it was by own efforts, like Adam and Eve tried to clothe themselves. God said that won't work. Something had to die, and God had to take those skins and clothe them. And we've been through all of that. But Cain was the father of religion, and he established it. And Cain, who is the father of religion and established it, has never been a friend of Christianity. They've been at enmity. And it says in chapter 17 and chapter 18 that religion has been brutal. It has murdered and slain the true saints of God over the course of the church age, over 2,000 years, and even in killed the prophets and stoned them and murdered and massacred the people of the Old Testament, people of faith. So they've never been in friendship. The world religion and true Christianity has never been friends. They have been enemies of each other. One is a self-effort, and the other is the total sufficiency of the work of Christ. That's the difference. One depends upon man, the other depends upon Christ. We sang tonight in the prelude of our service, Jesus paid it all. And that's it. He paid it all. So I'm going to read a few verses here in chapter 18, which gives the list of the no mores. I'm not going to go into a long time of attempting to describe, and some of it might be speculation. I'm not going to spend a long time in trying to nail down every one of these no mores, because they're all symbolizing of something, some literal, symbolic, and so forth. But in chapter 18, after the collapse of the religious, political, and economic system of the entire world, then in chapter 17, 18, you have the conclusion in verse 20 through the rest of the chapter of chapter 18. And it says in verse 20, I'm going to read these, and then we're going to come back and just say a little bit about each one of these. Rejoice over her. That's over her. That's the religious system. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. God's got even. For how the religious system has treated you, God. Remember, the Bible says, vengeance belongeth to me. I will repay. I will, they'll get their due, but let me do it. That's like the law. You have to let the law be the law. We're not to take the law into our own hands, and certainly not in the spiritual realm. We have to let God handle and take care of those things. So we are said here in verse 20, called upon to rejoice because vengeance has been taken. Vengeance has been poured out to where the entire religious, political, an economical system of the world has totally collapsed in chapter 17 and chapter 18. Rejoice, vengeance has happened. In verse 21, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. A sea there symbolic of mankind, as it says, in chapter 17, it calls it the great waters. In chapter 17, verse 15, calls it the great waters. humanity is pictured as a sea, as a roaring sea, or a body of waters, because of waters never, a sea never rests. It's constantly. They have no rest. They have no rest. Waves in, waves out. That's the unsaved. That is humanity without Christ. So it came into the sea, symbolically speaking of humanity, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon is a symbolic of the religious system after the flood. After the flood, Babylon became the center, and lower Babylon and what we call the Ur of the Chaldees became the central figure for the corrupt religious program of Satan after the flood. And that's why we find Babylon mentioned here, because it takes upon itself a symbolic resemblance, because this is where the false worship, the false gods, the false religions, and so forth, resurrected after the flood out of the Ur of the Chaldees, Babylonian. And of course, it didn't end there. It's carried on even through today. So that great city, Babylon, it's a symbolic name for a religious system. Be thrown down and shall be, there is your first no more. No more religious system. There's your first one. Satan and Cain, who was of the wicked one, will rise to deceive no more. Religiously. No more. No more. He's had his time. He's had his work upon the earth. Satan is called the God of this world. Satan is called the prince and the power of the air. He has his agents. It says in Corinthians that Satan himself has been transformed into an angel of light. And Satan himself has produced another Jesus. He's produced another gospel. And he's produced another spirit. And Paul was concerned for some of the people at Corinth, lest they be beguiled and led astray. But the first no more is the religious system. It's gone. It's been vengeanced, because it took vengeance upon God's true people. The people of faith, beginning all the way back to the first man ever killed was Cain's brother, Abel. Goes all the way back to Abel, the first man of faith that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. So anyway, that system is gone. No more will there be that system. Now, as we read on, the next we find more. And the voice of harpers. Now that's a strange statement. Harpers. The voice of harpers. Harpers don't have a voice. Harps make sounds, but not necessarily make a voice. Perhaps it could be suggesting those that setting and playing the harp, maybe, or this way. However, maybe they're singing. Harps played a big part. If you study the religions of the world, harps in ancient times were one of the most popular instruments in false and pagan worships. But the voice of harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more. There is the music aspect of the false religions. I've heard some of the religions, and because we're on the air live, I'm going to refrain from naming because there's many, and I'm not going to name them by name. But I have heard choirs by some of the, what we would consider cultic. They're beautiful. And sometimes the message that they sing is somewhat biblical. Religion has had its music. Now, I want to show you something tonight. You see where it says harpers, musicians, pipers, trumpeters? No more. No more. Now hold your finger right there and go back and flip back with me to Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, we have Cain killing his brother Abel. It was over religion. Cain got angry because God wouldn't accept his sacrifice, so he killed Abel. That's where the bloodshed and the slaughter of God's true people of faith began, in Genesis chapter 4. Because of that, God put a mark upon Cain, and we're not going to get into the discussion of that mark. That's not my purpose. But I want you to notice something in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. All the descendants of Cain knew nothing about the true God of Adam and Eve, Seth that would replace Abel. This civilization was a civilization that was apart from God. They went out as the leader of Cain, went out from the presence of the Lord. God would not allow him to dwell in his presence. He went out. So in Genesis chapter 4, you have the first murder take place. You got the first polygamy take place. A man married two wives. There's a lot of first. You know, the book of Genesis means beginnings. And that's where you find all the beginnings in the book of Genesis. A lot. But I want you to notice from the descendants of Cain, and we'll not take the time to name them and read down through them, but I want you to notice, if you'll begin reading with me along verse 20 of chapter 4. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such that dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all the such as... There's your music. There it is. First time music's mentioned in the Bible is in the genealogy of Cain. There it is. I remember back when I was in Bible college, I don't remember who the preacher was. It was in a chapel service, and I'd only been in Bible college maybe a year, or maybe in my second year. And they had, Dr. Goddard used to have some great preachers in. Wow. And I learned as much in chapel services many times as I did in class. But he preached on that verse and compared it to the hard rock music that was taking over the young people back in the 70s and 80s. And he preached, he used that verse to preach against hard rock music and so forth. But there it is. There it is. There it is. First time music is mentioned in the Bible comes under the heading of the descendants of Cain who went out from the presence of the Lord. And then when you find after the system is judged and destroyed and will not exist anymore, God says neither will its music. Neither will its music. Many people get drawn into ministries by the music. And I could get into this and spend the rest of the evening on that. I'm not going to do that. It's not my purpose. But music can sometimes be misleading. So anyway, there it is. That's over. The system is down and the music is down. No more. Now, the second part of after he deals with the music, It says, "They'll be heard no more at all in thee." And thirdly, no craftsman. Now, if you go back to chapter 4 again, you'll find craftsmen in Cain. You don't have to turn back. I'll just read it for you. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer. Come on. Tongue-tied. Artificer in brass and iron. There's your manufacturing. There it is. And they used it to build false idols and false gods, false religions, bow down to them and worship them. There it is. It began with Cain, the father of religion. And the first time you find it is in the genealogy of the father of religion, whom Peter said. Peter says that Cain was of the wicked one. And now you find the no mores. The system is going to be no more. The music system is going to be no more. And the craftsman is going to be no more. And you can take it all the way back to the beginning when Cain's generations began to populate on the earth and to promote the program of false religion. There it is. We believe the Bible in this church. We believe the Bible. And it is our standard for faith. And there it is. Now, no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. So the craftsman, the building, if you remember, and you, it's kind of hard to remember back 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, than when we dealt with chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the collapse of the economic system. The economic system of the world became rich due to buying and surfacing out into the different religions of the world the crafts that was made by the craftsmen. They got rich by selling to the religions of the world. That was true in Acts whenever Paul went to the city of Ephesus. And there was a manufacturing plant in Ephesus, and they made little replicas of the goddess Diana. And when Paul preached the gospel, and they considered their craft being endangered and closed down because so many people turned to Christ. And the same problem over in Revelation chapter 2, when John wrote through Christ to the church at Ephesus, they had the crafts there, and they spoke out against them, and the false idols and the icons and so forth. It's all tied, and it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. It goes all the way back to the time when Cain began to populate. He didn't only populate the people, he populated his program. And it involved music, craftsmen, and so forth. And God said, "I avenged her no more. Not going to be any more from her. It's over." Now, Revelation 18, verse 23, "And the light of a candle." A light of the candle. A candle was used in a lot of different religions and churches. I have no problem with candles. No problems at all. Many people put them out on gravesites and so forth for various different reasons. But when they're used in some type of way to please God or to get favor from God, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. Many people use them. And the light of a candle, again, if you go back into the history of the religions of the world, the candle, like the music and the instruments, played a big part in the activity of the false worship. Now, if dealing with music, there are so many thoughts coming into my brain, I can't keep them all categorized together. But going back to the musician, if you'll remember back when Nebuchadnezzar became the world power and the world leader, and it went to his head, that he was going to be the world leader. Remember what he did? He built a 90-foot statue to himself and demanded all peoples of all nations that when they heard the they bow down. And I could go on and on and on. When they heard, and was this to some true God in heaven, to some faith? No. No, it was to that false statue to which he built. But it was music that brought them to their knees. You just study the religions. You just study the Bible and you can find it. And the few that I referred here to tonight. But the candle has also as well, it shall shine no more at all in thee. We'll pause right there for a moment. In the temple, not only is Satan a producer of self-effort. See, this is what he did in eternity past when he tried to overthrow the throne of God and took one-third of the angels with him. This has been his program. He wanted to be God. He wanted to expel God, the deity of God, out and himself take over. And when he did this, there was the fall of Satan and the fall of one-third of the angels of Satan. When he was not successful, then he started counterfeiting and duplicating like the real. As I said, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And Paul was worried and said, "Does Satan deceive you?" Now, I'll say this, in the temple, not all, religion had a lot of its own that it did not copy, counterfeit, duplicate, perhaps from true Christianity. It had its own. We saw that in Genesis chapter 4. But there was something in the temple that God put there. It was a light. It was a light. And it was never to go out. That light was never to go out. It was a symbolic gesture of that the God of that temple, the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, was a God of light, and in him was no darkness at all. That's what it symbolized, that light. And during the days of Eli, it says the candle went out. The candle went out. So sometimes religion and Satan duplicates and counterfeits. And so there's been a big emphasis in religions concerning the use of candles, the use of lights, in various different places and various different forms and for various different reasons that I'm not going to get into. I just want to show you there tonight that, and you can study in world church history, world religion history and so forth, how the candle has been used so much. And so forth. Now, verse 23, these are the no mores. In verse 23, the second part, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. Notice it doesn't say the bride and the bridegroom are not going to be. It says their voice. The voice of the bride and the bridegroom shall be heard no more at all. Notice it says, in thee, in this system. Now, why is that important? The bride and the bridegroom. It doesn't say the people, it says their voice. What does a bride and bridegroom do before they become husband and wife? What's their voice do? Vows. Vows. And boy, are there vows in religions. You have to make vows. Make vows. That connects and puts people together. A lot of the self-man-made organizations today have secret vows. Vows one another and so forth. Vows, the Bible says it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not keep it. So I take this, notice it's not the people. It's not the people. It's their voice that'll never be heard again. Marriage doesn't disappear. And the people don't disappear. But what they say disappears. Their voice will be heard no more. So, marriage oath, marriage vows. And I have married hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples that said, till death do us part. Some of them didn't make it a year. And I threatened, over in Romania, one wedding lasted exactly 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I threatened that I said, if I marry you, I'm not going to say, until death do you part, I'm going to say, until divorce do you part. That eliminated a lot of people asking me to marry him. So, you see here the no mores, and I think he's using this as a symbolic gesture because it's the voice that's emphasized. Not the people, not the program of marriage, but it's the voice. And the voice of these two characters is always what they say to one another. And that's an oath. And I think that's what John is somewhat emphasizing here as he says, no more vows. No more secret vows, no more vows. And I could go into that. You can study that in world religions. The vows, like the candle, and like the music, and like the craftsmen, and all this other, has played such a big part in world religions. Shall be heard no more at all. And notice it says, in thee. Now, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. And it mentions some of their activity. And strange enough, it says they were married and given in marriage. Jesus emphasized that before the flood. Vows. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So now, the last part of verse 23, for thy merchants... Thy merchants. He goes immediately to the voice of the bride and the bridegroom to the merchants. For the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Vows has to do with deception. Somebody can promise, at the same time they're promising you, know that they are lying to you. Yep. That word sorceries means witchcraft, spiritism, demonic activity. Nations were deceived by the system that'll not going to exist. It's done. It's over. And all of its music program, and all of its Christmas program, and all of its other symbolic program, all of its involvement and activity is over. It's done. The merchants were involved in it as well in chapter 18 because of the economic collapse. When the system collapsed, the merchants can't sell to anybody any longer by sorceries. But it brought deception. In verse 24, it tells us, And in her was found the blood of prophets, of saints, and all that were slain upon the earth, taking you all the way back to the beginning of Abel in Genesis chapter 4, is where it began. And this is where it ended. Genesis chapter 4 was the beginning. The closing part of chapter 8 is the end of what we know of Cain's program, one world religion. system. Now, it may have many different titles. It may have many different identities and recognitions and so forth. But it's all under the headship of one. And in this time coming, this time that is coming, we won't be here as the true church. People of faith will be taken out of here. How much we'll have to experience before we're gone, we do not know. But we'll be taken out of here, and there is already established the World and National Council of Churches. Already established. There's the United States Council of Churches. They're hooked together. They're linked together. They're all involved, and they will be what we call the one world religious system. And they're going to be against the true saints of God. Literally, during this period of time to come. God's going to revenge it. God's going to get even. This system killed his people, and he will get even with them. He will get even with them. So there's the no mores of religion. There it is. And there it is, 7 o'clock. Let's just look a little bit at chapter 21, and we'll continue here next Sunday night. The no mores of Christianity, somewhat of what Donnie sang of this morning. He sang from this passage here. This is eternity. This is eternity. We're dealing now with eternity. I've been asked over 42 years, what's eternity going to be like? And I said, well, we only know what the Bible has revealed. Anything beyond that is speculation. We know somewhat. But beyond what God has unveiled or revealed in the Scriptures is totally and completely speculative and best left undone. We're going to deal with some of the things about eternity, our bodies, what we're going to be doing in heaven, what we're going to be doing in eternity. We're going to look at our home in eternity, probably spend about 2 months on eternity each Sunday night. On eternity, and that'll wrap up our 2 year plus study on things to come. It's going to be more pleasant than the past year when we've been dealing with wars and bloodshed and catastrophes and judgments. This is going to be much more pleasant. We're going to be with Jesus. Amen. Now, in chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That means humanity has gone. Humanity is gone. And I, John, saw the holy city. We're going to study that city in detail. New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We'll study it. In that New Jerusalem is our mansions. They said if you took the base, this is the measurements, and we'll get into the measurements of this, but they said if you took the base, just the base of this city and set it on America, it would reach from the tip of New York to the Keys of Florida in the south, all the way from the Atlantic Ocean of Jersey clear out to the Mississippi River. That's just the base. And the width of it and the height of it is all equal. It's a big place. There'll be plenty of room. Plenty of room. That's what people have speculated based upon the measurements, that you could set it on America. It would reach from the far north of New York all the way to the tip of the Keys of Florida and from the Atlantic Ocean of Jersey all the way to the Mississippi Valley. That's quite an area. Just the base. All right. So it's a big, big city. And verse 3, I'm going to read these and then we'll study them next Sunday night. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God. The tabernacle of God. We'll have some things to say about that next Sunday night. The tabernacle of God is with men. and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And the first act of God in eternity, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We're going to talk about the bottle of tears. I want to tell you, religion has not been kind to Christianity. It's not been kind. And all these wars has been over religion. They've been over religion. Or against God's people. World War II was against the Jew. And a madman by the name of Hitler. And unfortunately, America went over and liberated all of that area from a madman of Nazism and turned them over to communism, everything east of Berlin. Liberated them from Nazism and turned them over and put them under communism. Sad. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, Donnie sang this morning. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And I want to tell you, my friend, sometimes pain is not a toothache. Sometimes the pain internal is much worse than the pain external. We'll talk about that next week a little bit. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There is the no mores of Christianity. And God will be with us. What a day that'll be. Amen? What a day, what a great future we have. So there's no mores of the religious system, and there's the no mores of the Christianity system. No mores. And we have what we have taken away from us due largely because we experience the death, the pain, the sorrow, the crying, and all of these things. We've experienced it at the hand, often, if not most of the time, at the hand of the religious system. They go connected together. So all you there on Facebook tonight, we are going to close our service in a moment, and we're going to stop the recording at this point. We will be back live next Sunday morning. You can tune in to us sometime around 11:10, and we'll be streaming live here from our church building next Sunday morning. Until then, stay safe, my friend, and thank you for connecting with us tonight. Okay. Thank you for coming out tonight. This is a new norm. This is the new norm, but it's a way to reach people. And you know me, I've been the most outspoken. Somebody said this morning, you still got a little egg right there in that one place. I've been the most outspoken against this technology and this stuff. But if God can use it for his glory, I want to say again tonight, pray for my family. I have every service at least 20 unsaved Catholic family members that's listening to this preacher that has never heard him preach before until I started at Rachel's back on the third week of March. And when I was told who was connected and listening, I just about flipped out. Because they, oh boy, were they ever enemies and did they ever inflict pain? And they're listening. And you know, it's amazing that when they have a crisis, guess who they call? Yeah. When they have a crisis, guess who they call? God's working, folks. God's working. Not only my family, but we pray in yours as well. And if you have unsaved family out there, there's people connecting. I don't have a clue who they are. No idea. I'm going to put a little short post tomorrow morning on my page that says, I'm only Facebook for the purpose of our church ministry. I don't use it beyond that. I don't have the time nor the desire to sit there and go through all that stuff, nor do I understand it. So, because people are sending me messages and people are sending this and like me and confirm me and can I be added and So anyway, I don't understand it, but if it's something, God can use something that the devil meant for evil, just like Joseph said to his brethren, you meant it for evil, but God took it and used it for good and saved the entire nation.